now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Please stand by. Ribs, and of course our signature ribeye, all there for you at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
This segment of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Everything okay?
We had a little emergency here, Phil. Somebody dropped a plate of food, and we've got a couple of big parties in tonight, so I apologize for that. But what I was telling you, if I could continue.
Go ahead.
Phil, I am not a big fan of Bill O'Reilly. I don't know what he's going through right now with these claims by this former employee of sexual harassment. What I want to do tonight, because this did hit the LA Times early this morning, I want to draw a very distinct line between what Mr. O'Reilly is alleged to have done and what it is that I do with our direct action campaign and direct action training with our waitresses.
Now, tell me exactly what you said to this. This is a food server of yours, right?
That is correct, Claire Ellis. And I was saying to her, because she works in the Ted Lounge, which is our lounge here at the restaurant, she's going to be approached in the course of her employment by a lot of men. And she is going to have to, you know, have to listen to their comments and so forth. Sometimes there's going to be a little bit of under the influence of alcohol. And because of where we are located, a lot of them are prominent men. Isn't it better to be able to develop a little bit of a thicker skin about these things and laugh it off than go off screaming sexual harassment, subjecting the restaurant to negative publicity and so forth?
Okay.
And that's when we instituted employee direct action training. And it's one of the one-on-one training that I conduct myself with the female cocktail waitresses that work at our lounge, working in the Ted Lounge or working in the ribeye room or wherever they're working. It's one-on-one to let them know what they're going to be experiencing and how rough it can be sometimes, because when you're serving cocktails at a lounge of an upscale steakhouse where a lot of powerful men who are relaxing over a drink are, men are going to make their comments to an attractive young waitress. With employee direct action, we let them know what to expect.
Well, she's saying in her lawsuit against you that you talked to her, and forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm quoting directly, about vibrators, Vaseline, condoms.
All right, look, if I could stop you.
Go ahead.
You're taking a lot of that out of context. I am not Bill O'Reilly or whatever it is he's accused of, and I don't even know if he is indeed guilty of sexually harassing one of his employees. That's what he's doing, and this is not what that is. Let me repeat, that is not what I am doing here.
All right, so Ms. Ellis claims in her suit that during the course of several phone calls over a six-week period, you talked with her. And I'm quoting again.
Well, remember, when you're quoting a lawsuit, that's simply the allegation.
Well, okay, she says you talked to her in extreme graphic detail about lesbian sex, bestiality, coprophagia, which I don't even want to go into the definition of.
Yeah, but let me tell you what's not fair here. You're bringing these subjects up out of context. You're not putting them into context.
Well, she claims you were talking about these subjects in a lurid or suggestive manner.
That is an absolute lie. I brought these things up to her as a way of letting her know what's going to happen in a cocktail lounge when there's a lot of men who are going to be asked. She's a very attractive young lady. And so over the course of our direct action training, I talked to her about what to expect from these guys.
Well, you're saying threesomes. You were talking to her about lesbian sex. You were talking to her about extramarital sex.
That is correct. But again, see, I asked her, what do you think about group sex? And she said she was uncomfortable with it. And I said, well, that's good to know, because there might be some men in the bar who start talking to you about threesomes, and you need to just laugh it off.
Why would a woman have to laugh this stuff off? Why can't she go to her boss, like you, and say, those men at the table are bothering me, and I'd like to ask you to ask them to stop it or leave?
And she certainly does have that option, to come to me and complain about the customer's treatment of her. If they're threatening her with bodily harm, if they're making racial jokes, because we do have a black gal that works nice for us, I should declare, I want you to come to me anytime if these men are bothering you. And
well, she says in her suit that she approached you the evening of August 12th when two men in the lounge began, she said, making suggestive sexual remarks.
Okay, and let me, I can pick up because I was there.
Go ahead.
She said these two guys were bothering her, and I said, which two? And she pointed them out. Phil, she's pointing out Bill Clements and Gary Negro. You know, both of these guys, they are both very important guys. They're suppliers. They've been eating here for 20 years. I said to her, I didn't think she really understood what I was saying.
Well, that because you had talked with her in graphic detail about lesbian sex, threesomes. You asked her how she felt about interracial sex.
Exactly. To get her to see it wasn't something you want to make an issue out of, so that when these men in the restaurant bring these topics up, she wouldn't act so shocked. And now she's suing me for sexually harassing her. See, there's a big difference between what Bill O'Reilly is allegedly, or what he is alleged to have done and what he's accused of, and me trying to get a young 18-year-old woman to be a little bit more forgiving. And so I went into these...
Well, over a six-week period, you went into... all manner of things, from lesbian sex, group sex. You talked about vibrators, lubricants.
All right. See, again, you bringing it up out of context.
Well, what are you, you're talking with her about all these things because you want
to know what to expect. And now I'm getting hit with a lawsuit. To me, it is unbelievable when I'm simply talking with her.
A lot of these phone calls were after 11 o'clock at night.
We close at 10:30, yeah. So I'd say, well, when you get home and, you know, you get out of your work clothes, you get comfortable, and let me, I want to, because direct action training is one-on-one, and I know that it sounds unusual to talk to her late at night. I don't have the opportunity during the day. I'm in meetings all day long. And I think, you know, I'm glad I have the opportunity to explain this, because now that I'm explaining it, your audience is going to get a better idea that what I was actually doing was, I wasn't sexually harassing her. I was telling her, if she gets sexually harassed, this is what it's going to sound like.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Can we take some phone calls?
You know what, look, it's your show, but I think I've explained myself. And I don't know what else I need to explain to anybody.
Well, let me just get some comments.
Well, you know, the comments you're going to get...
Well, you don't know, but I just want to give our number out anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He owns a steakhouse. He's been hit with a sexual harassment suit by an employee, a cocktail waitress, who says he was speaking to her in very graphic detail. And I know that's what the L.A. Times is reporting.
Absolutely. And you got to understand something. And to any young women listening to me out there, please don't let the older women influence you. A lot of bitter old women, and I don't mean to say it in a way that it castigates them, but there's a lot of bitter older women. Bitter that they just didn't, I guess, get the breaks in life or whatever. And so they're trying to tell you, hey, you know, here's what you can do. You can touch a guy up for a few million. And that's...
So you think this is extortionary?
Oh, I have no doubt, yeah. Have no doubt at all. And I was not talking to her about sex. I was talking to her about what other men would say if they were sexually harassing her.
All right, some of the topics that she brings up in her lawsuit...
Well, you keep quoting the lawsuit.
Well, you don't deny. You talked to her about vibrators. You talked to her about lubricants. You talked to her about condoms. You talked to her about group sex. You talked to her about lesbian sex. You talked to her about bestiality. You talked to her about oral sex. You talked at great length about...
Yeah, absolutely.
Because these are the things that some guys could bring up in a bar.
You get a lot of powerful men together. And we get an awful lot of film people. We get an awful lot of business people from Century City. They're going to make a lot of these very, these comments.
Well, wouldn't you agree, let me ask you this, that if a man were to actually talk about these things with a cocktail waitress in a restaurant, no matter how upscale, that would be sexual harassment?
If he was to talk about what?
The things that you're talking with her about and warning her what to expect.
Well, yes. if it was done in a way that he's doing it luridly, you know, touching himself or whatever he's doing.
Well, how could a guy possibly bring up group sex with a cocktail waitress and have it not be sexual harassment?
Again, it's the context. I don't know. You're asking me, Ted Bell, who has some of this area's most important people coming to eat at his restaurant, you're asking me now to throw them out of my restaurant because they said to a young lady thus and so about vibrators? I don't.
Well, I'm asking you to talk to them at least if they're friends of yours.
Why? Because, well, I would if it's sexual harassment.
So there is an instance where a man could talk to a cocktail waitress about vibrators and it wouldn't be sexual harassment.
I think that, you know, the jury isn't in on all of that. I think you have to look very carefully at it. I'm just asking her. See, you're concentrating on the men. I think this is a great opportunity to tell our young ladies to concentrate on themselves so that they're not so shocked and that they understand the world of men a little bit. See, I'm Ted Bell, and that means I've got to deal with a lot of different people. You're asking me to commit career suicide. You're asking me to take one of my German-made steak knives of tempered steel and push it right into my throat through the carotid artery and bleed to death. And I'm not about to do that.
All right, hold on, Ted. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bell owns a restaurant. He has something called direct action training where he talks to his cocktail waitresses who work in the Ted Lounge, which is adjunct to his restaurant, graphically about what they might expect, what they might possibly hear in his lounge from men. And this one young waitress, Claire Ellis, a cocktail waitress, has been there since January of 2002. Apparently said he's been talking to her over a six-week period about graphic sexual things. Mr. Bell says it's because he wants to warn her what she might hear from these men as she's serving drinks. Some of the topics include, well, you heard the topics, 1-800-449-8686. Perhaps this is a way of getting women toughened up to this world of men and the things they talk about. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I know women that will forgive cheating by a man for a short stack of pancakes.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey everybody, this big football weekend. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got the Ted Tenderloin, of course, our big Ted Bone, the T-Bone, the Ted Club Steak, and the ever popular Ted Flap Steak. It's all at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's. We want to put our meat in your.
Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, there are a number of topics that she mentions in her lawsuit that you brought up with her.
And can I say one thing, Bill?
Go ahead.
I think before we judge a guy like Bill O'Reilly, it's possible that he was trying to do some kind of direct action training with his employee as well. How do we know, and you may laugh at this, but how do we know that he wasn't bringing up these topics with his employee? And I read some of the lawsuit. And he was talking to her about, you know, putting his finger here or there, wherever, that he wasn't also trying to,
What, prepare her for the possible sexual harassment?
Well, what I'm saying...
That doesn't sound like it. I mean, maybe in your... Look, your employee has, in her lawsuit, that you talked with her in graphic detail about explicit descriptions of sex organs, transsexuals, transvestites, foot fetishes, transgender sex addicts, quote, water sports, prison rape, and pedophilia. And
again, it's context. You laundry list that, and you make me sound like some kind of a sick and twisted, overcoat opener out in a parking lot in a preschool, and I don't think it's fair. And
so you were talking to her about water sports and prison rape as a way of saying, this is probably what you're going to be hearing in my cocktail lounge.
I was saying, yes, look at, if you're trying to discredit the quality of the patron I have, it's not going to work. I've got some very powerful... Look, I'm Ted Bell. People that come and drink in my at the Ted Lounge or at the Ribeye Room are people of quality in this town.
And any guy that comes into a bar and starts talking to a strange cocktail waitress about prison rape, foot fetish, and transgender sex addicts, to me, deserves to be removed from the premises.
Yes, I agree. But I take it case by case. You get a guy like Bill Simmons in a restaurant, you're going to throw him out? You're a better man than me. You get a guy like George Lucas in your bar, you're going to throw him out? You're a better man than me. You get a guy like, you know, I was protecting this young lady, and that's, and what do I get for my trouble? What do I get? I get her suing me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to take some phone calls here, Ted.
But again, I want to go on record. I don't know what more I can explain about this.
Oh, hold on. I want to take a phone call here. Cynthia, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry... No, excuse me, this is Mary. Mary, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Mary, hi.
I think the guy you're talking to is a pig. I owned a restaurant for 20 years, and if anybody would have talked that way to any of our waitresses, we would have thrown them out on our their ears.
Yes, if he was trying to sexually harass her.
We had caucus in our restaurant. We had a lot of big-name people in our restaurant.
I don't know what your restaurant... Was it a coffee shop? What was it?
No, it was a full-service, high-end restaurant in Monterey, California.
Well,
and we would never have allowed any patron to talk to one of our waitresses or waiters in that kind of a manner.
Look, if Clint Eastwood comes...
sick puppy girl at 10 o'clock at night to talk like that.
I'm Ted Bell, and I'm trying to protect her
from what they could say.
Now, if Clint Eastwood comes into your bar... Or if Clint Eastwood were to come into the Ted Room, which Clint, by the way, has, and I don't know how often he came to your restaurant, but he's come to mine quite frequently.
His attorney was in our complex, so he came regularly.
I'm not talking about his attorney. I mean Clint, the man.
You're a pig, and you're making excuses for your lurid behavior.
If Clint Eastwood came into your restaurant and was talking to a cocktail waitress about transsexual sex addicts, you're telling me you're going to throw him out? Yeah.
No, I would go up to him and say, please, our waitress is real uncomfortable with this conversation. Could you please change the line of your conversation? That's what I would say.
You're going to tell Clint Eastwood that.
Absolutely.
Why not?
You know as well as
absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
You
without
ain't six a guy
one
like
one iota of hesitation.
Very,
because that person is behaving in lascivious manner to one of my waitresses. That's absolutely right.
What she's basically saying is this. She wants to 86 Clint Eastwood and then drive a steak knife into her own throat. Because that's what would happen to her business.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Wait a minute.
It didn't, and
she
nobody
didn't...
ever behaved that way in our restaurant. I wonder why.
Look, I serve great flank steaks. What did you serve? Strawberry milkshakes? Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. We had seafood and steak.
Don't try to denigrate my restaurant. I wouldn't set foot in your restaurant because if it sounds like a pig, it is a pig, and that's just what you sound like.
You're trying to tell me you're going to...
I'm finished with this conversation.
Yeah,
I don't even want to waste my time on you.
Because the more questions I ask you, the less you can defend what you were throwing Clint Eastwood out of your restaurant because he happened to be talking about prison rape. And
she never said that. She said that if Clint Eastwood came into her restaurant...
As he comes into mine.
Well, does he talk about prison rape?
Not that I know of, no. But I'm saying that if he came into her restaurant and talked that way, she says she's going to throw him out? And let me tell you something. You don't walk up to a man like Clint Eastwood and say, get out of my bar. I'm not going to go up to Clint Eastwood and say to him, I'd like you to get out of the Ted Lounge. You don't say to Clint Eastwood, get out of the Ted Lounge. It doesn't happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Look, I want to talk to you very seriously that even though there are these allegations about my personal life, I think our restaurant speaks for itself. Remember, Sunday is Cube Steak Day. We're having a special on it. Come on down with the family.
Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, look at you, and I want to get to some phone calls.
Well, you can hear I've been called a pig. I don't know that these are phone calls that I necessarily want to address.
You're right. People shouldn't call you names, but by the same token, in her lawsuit, she alleges that you spoke with her in graphic detail about Burmese child prostitution. Danish kitty porn, elder sex, incest, white slave trading, Benoit balls, cross-dressing, Parisian hothouses. Now, I want to ask you a question.
Again, context, Bill. I was training this young lady what to expect in our cocktail lounge. We have a lot of powerful men. Their tongues get loosened up. George Lopez is one of my frequent patrons. I'm Ted Bell. You got a lot of guys in there, Clint Eastwood.
Is George Lopez going to sit in your bar and talk about white slave trading and Parisian hothouses?
I don't know. I don't think so. If he were to...
Let's say this waitress comes to you and says, Mr. Lopez is sitting in the lounge right now, and he just was talking to me in graphic detail about elder sex and Danish kitty porn.
Okay, here's what I say. It's what I say in our direct action training. Laugh it off. And he'll move on to another topic. Just you laugh and you go, well, that's wonderful, Mr. Lopez. I'm glad you have, you know, whatever your pursuits are, or these kinds of things.
And by the way, we're not saying that he does this.
No, of course. I know George. He's a family man. But you know, any of these guys, Gary Oldman comes in a lot. And Gary is the kind of guy who might want to get into, talking about transgender topics, things like that. But all I'm saying is that if he's talking to me, just laugh it off.
What are you saying, Gary Oldman harasses?
No, none of these guys. But Bill Simmons, Jack Armstrong, these waitresses. I got to tell you something, Phil. I'm in the restaurant business. I got to serve patrons and make these this broad happy. I don't mean to say broad, but this girl happy, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Back to some phone calls. Leah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to make the point that Ted Bell makes it sound like, since he's dealing with affluent money people,
yes,
that it's okay for them to be very disrespectful towards women. And I also want to know if he would put his 18-year-old daughter in that situation and think it was okay.
I don't have an 18-year-old daughter, but I think one of the great things we could do as parents, Leah, is when we put our daughters into a cocktail lounge or they're a guide at Disneyland or one of these kinds of jobs, a man comes up to them and starts discussing this, Mr. Henry, Benoit balls or slave trading, to just enjoy, just don't make a big thing out of it. But if we can talk to our daughters beforehand about these topics, they won't be so shocked and won't be so ready to file a lawsuit. Are you a grandmother? Are you a grandmother? Are you a mother or a grandmother or what?
I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. Why not teach men to be more respectful to where they're not saying those kind of things to waitresses?
I don't know what you're talking. I don't know what you mean. Talk to men. About what?
Well, no, I mean,
telling
why
men.
Can't these men be
Look, have
more
you ever brought
respectful?
Up, if you're a mother and you have daughters, better that you bring up transgender issues with her and foot fetishes. So when she does get a guy talking to her like that, that's all I was trying to do. And what am I getting? I'm getting all kinds of grief.
All right, Leah, thank you. All right, and
you're welcome.
The lady doesn't sound like she's convinced.
See, this is what I said when you said you were going to start taking phone calls. I said to you, what are you trying to do to me? Are you trying to do to me what a lot of these young ladies are afraid is going to happen to them? Aren't you ever, this lady says she's never talked to her daughters about Benoit balls. Boy, I find that hard to believe.
Oh, yeah, man. They're going to bring that up.
Well, if more mothers did, there wouldn't be these sexual harassment charges.
1-800-449-8686. Pam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. My comment to Ted Bell is...
Yes, ma'am. This is Ted Bell.
Yes, Ted. It's obvious to me that you have no respect for women and you do not stand up for your female employees.
Am I talking to myself here?
Hold on, Ted. Let me train
them.
Ted, hold on just a minute.
Yeah, let the lady finish.
And you also have, you also condone the behavior of gentlemen, so you speak, quality customers that you have. In my opinion, you don't have quality customers. Celebrities don't talk to cocktail waitresses like that. If they had too much to drink,
I never said they did. I said if they did.
And you should immediately put a more mature woman there. And the other point I'd like to make, you as an employer have no business calling a female employee after hours. If you have direct action, I've never heard of it, but if you're going to have direct action training, it should be done on work time during
the
day.
Direct action training should be done when the employee is relaxed and taking a bath and I call her up.
You're not talking to her
about this stuff in a bathtub.
I'm not. She's taking a bath.
Okay, Pam, if you listen, just you want to comment, I'm just going to make a comment.
Well, go ahead, Pam, but I want to say something after you're
but
done.
But you can say it when I'm done.
All right.
You have no respect for women. You condone
three,
the behavior of gentlemen.
Like four drinks on table three. Go ahead.
Clint Eastwood and George Lopez, those celebrities, Sam Shepard, none of those men would talk to women like that in a cocktail lounge.
I don't anticipate, but let's just say.
Exactly. So therefore, you're.
Clint Eastwood has wrapped a big Western, and he's relaxing in our bar, and he wants to bring up,
Ted, if you'll listen, then you can comment.
White slave trading.
Go ahead.
Okay, wait a minute. So you have no business doing direct action training with employees that young, and if you're going to anticipate any kind of behavior from gentlemen like that, you should immediately remove them. You don't need to be the one training them. You need to have someone else come in and do that.
The other thing I want to jump in,
never call a female employee. Yes.
Pam, I want to. This is Phil Hendry.
Yes.
Did you need to bring Benoit balls to work to show to the waitress?
I was bringing them in case for her to know what they look like.
He doesn't need to know that.
What do you mean they don't need to know? What if a guy pulls a pair out?
And you need to remove the gentleman and his Benoit balls, and you need to.
That's great. So Neil Patrick Harris comes into my restaurant.
Doesn't matter if
and
he
pulls out his,
not
and pulls out innocently some Benoit balls, and I'm supposed to throw him out? Yeah, good luck.
Well, what do you mean Neil Patrick Harris? Has he done that?
No, but these are the guys I get in my restaurant.
Why don't you bring up guys that are going to be talking this way as opposed to intimating that...
No, I'm just trying to get Pam to understand. Clint Eastwood comes in after wrapping a big movie... He settles down to relax over a drink and an enjoyable conversation about water sports, and I'm supposed to throw him out. Yeah, sure.
Nobody's going to ever say that in front of a cocktail waitress, and you know it. You only call the women after work because you want to talk to them about it, and
you
want to talk.
You know
what? That's all I have to say.
I heard you laugh. I bet you get a kick out of that kind of conversation because I just heard you laugh.
No, actually,
yeah.
I don't.
I bet you get a cheap thrill out of it.
Actually, I don't.
Well,
I'm a lot more mature than that.
Celebrities
would never talk to women like that.
Well, when I brought up Benoit balls, you went...
No, it's because you would think someone would actually pull a pair of Benoit balls out in front of a 18-year-old cocktail waitress. They know better than that.
Ma'am, I've been around this business a lot. You ought to see what guys pull out in cocktail lounges. Yeah, you see? Gary Shandling comes in a lot. Suppose he wants to talk about coprophagia.
Would you come on with this? You know Gary Shandling hooking his name up with stuff like that?
I think you just try to make yourself look big by dropping names.
You're jealous.
And nobody knows you, and nobody's ever heard of you, and I'm not jealous of you.
I happen to be Ted Bell. And
nobody knows you.
Well, you happen to be jealous that...
Why would I be jealous of an old man who's perverted and likes to talk to young women after hours?
Because Neil Patrick Harris comes into my restaurant, that's why.
So
he doesn't come into yours. And he doesn't go into yours.
No, but Clint Eastwood's been in mine. You have no idea what
you're talking
about.
Wait a minute. You're the second person who said she had a restaurant that Clint Eastwood has been in. Now I know you people are lying. And if Gary Shandling wants to bring a French tickler into my cocktail lounge... See, she's laughing about that. Well, I think she thinks it's really fun to do.
You love to drop names of celebrities, and you love to make sexual innuendos.
Yeah, one of the things
absolutely perverted.
Yeah, ma'am, you know what? No one laughs at Ted Bell. I've been in this town far too long to be laughed at. So you and Mr. Hendry can both go down to where the horned one lives and plays cards.
Is Pam still there? Pam, she hung up. What are you doing, Ted?
I'm hanging up. On second thought, Bill, listen to this. This was a gift given to me by June Lockhart. Listen to this. You hear that?
Yeah.
That's a whip. Now, June...
She didn't give you that.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, thank you for telling me my life.
Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry
Show. You know what?
Yeah.
This guy needs his head examined.
Excuse me. Are you in the food serving end of the business, ma'am? So I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm
are
not
in the food
serving. And you know what? Is this a good damn thing? I'm not, because you need your head examined. You are the stupidest man I have ever...
Language, Sharon.
I'm sorry, but this guy,
language.
He's making me so mad that... oh, my God.
All right, hold on for just a second. Collect yourself.
Well, Phil, what do I...
You hold on, too. I just want to make sure that everybody cleans up their language here before we move on. And I don't want any more discussion, Mr. Bell, of Benoit balls, if you don't mind.
So in other words, what you're trying to tell me, and I want to be very clear, if Moon Unit Zappa comes into my restaurant...
Forget about who's coming into your restaurant. Okay, Sharon, go ahead. Sharon?
Yeah, you know what? There isn't an actor out there that would do anything like that. So, you know what? There's no reason
really?
For him to even bring up an actor's name.
How many actors do you know? How many
people
actors?
That he's talking about are sick individuals that don't even hang out in nice public places.
What? How many actors
yeah,
do you know?
What?
You know who comes and drinks in my place? Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
You know what? I don't care who drinks in your place. You know what?
And what am I supposed to do when those guys walk into my restaurant and they start talking about transvestites? I'm supposed to just throw them out? If
yeah,
they relax,
yeah.
if they, it happens to be relaxing for them to
no,
discuss
you know
a detailed
you
prison
throw,
rape.
You throw them out and you ought to go with them.
I would throw myself out of my own restaurant? Oh, boy. Man, that's a good one.
You are
you know what?
Out.
The hell with both of you.
You know what? I
I'm
would go to your restaurant if it was the last restaurant on earth.
Yeah? Well, we just won the California Award for the best flap steak in the state, so... What are you laughing at? Oh, you're disdaining the fact that we have flap steak.
You're sick. You know what? You're not only a pig.
You know
you are worse than that.
You know what? Go to the nether reaches.
You want to put our meat in your...
You there, Ted?
You know, I'm going to come back on and just say this. If Jim Rome and Dr. Laura want to come into Ted's Lounge dressed in bondage gear, isn't that their business?
Yeah, but I want to be clear. None of these people whose names you're dropping have ever done that.
How do I know?
Dr. Laura's come into your restaurant in bondage gear.
No, I'm just saying that maybe she wears it when she...
I'm talking about coming into your restaurant.
No, she's never been in my restaurant. I don't even know her.
Then why would you bring her up?
I'm just saying if.
Okay. Well, if Brad Pitt came into your restaurant in bondage gear or wearing a leather mask, then what?
Then I tell my wait. You think my waitresses are going to care? Oh, boy, you people really kill me. I'm out.
Can we kill the commercial? That's the 15th time I've heard that.
I want to get table 3 ready, too.
Mr. Bell, could you hang up your phone?
No, I don't want the Puerto Rican on that.
Mr. Bell? Did you tell him?
I'm talking to the guy on the radio right now.
Tell him that his phone is on, okay?
No, he's a jackass. Who? Sit him at the other table. I don't want those two together, and I don't want that guy sitting up front because anything...
You know, I can hear everything he's saying. He's talking to somebody like his hostess or something, right?
Put all the celebrities up front because when people come in, they want to see them. I don't give a crap if he wants to use the ribeye room. No one uses the ribeye room. Only me. How's the flap steak?
Cut, hang up on him. How's the flap steak?
By the way, if John Kerry came in dressed as a ballerina, it's his business.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. One 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
Got Steve Bozell coming up at 9. Bobby Dooley was on the show yesterday talking about how John Kerry alerted us to the fact that Mary Cheney is gay. Kind of a heads up. A lady called in and took exception to Bobby talking about how great living in a gated community is. This lady lived on a farm.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm not putting down what you do out there on your little farm. It's fine. Some of us have moved on in our lives. Some of us aren't hippies anymore, in other words.
I'm not a hippie. Me and my husband make almost $70,000 a year together.
A lot of us grew out of our farmer mentality when we were 18.
Well, you probably never even been on a farm.
When a young girl comes of age in the community, we add them to the ant flow board. That's all.
The ant flow board.
Mr. Henry, listen to this. Isn't that cute? That's a duck that Steve got me. So all I'm saying to you, Michelle, is this. When you move into a gated community, you are supposed to tell the homeowners association if you've had an abortion, when your recent cycle is, and if you're gay. Okay? So maybe you want to stay out on the farm, I guess.
Yeah, if I were Michelle, I would too. In fact, I would.
Oh, you don't have to worry. I love Virginia. You would never have to worry about me living in your neighborhood at all.
You love a woman named who?
I said I love Virginia. That's the state I live in, you arrogant woman.
You know what?
If
you want to cover up interests that you have,
she says she loves Virginia, the state.
She did not say that. She said she loves a woman.
Arrogant biatch.
You know something, you slut? You said I love Virginia, the woman Virginia.
No, she didn't.
My husband's name is Bryant. Thank you.
Your husband's name is Brown?
Bryant. Bryant.
Yeah, and she wears a ducktail?
All right.
Speaking of ducktail, Phil, listen to this. Isn't that wonderful?
I had to give this out to all the... God have mercy on your soul. I had to give this... I hope and pray that you one day open that narrow mind of yours,
Michelle,
and realize...
Well, listen to this. Virginia and Michelle sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. If the shoe fits, wear it. Oh, I'm out.
Peace.
What a turd.
She's a... Never mind.
You're a bitch.
Thank you. So are you.
No, you're a bitch.
Thank you. So are you. Shoe fits.
I know I am. So are you.
Oh, can we be a little immature now?
Well, you're the one that started it.
No,
you said,
I did not.
Yeah, you called me a biatch.
I didn't call you a bitch, but
yes,
I called you a biatch.
Okay, and I
That's
said...
a little more quaint.
And I said you said you love a woman named Virginia, and then
I
you called me a liar.
And I live in the state of Virginia.
No, you didn't. You said you love
I
a woman...
I did, too.
Oh, you're such a... God, you're a
Oh,
liar.
I don't think so. I live
you're
in the state of Virginia. I live in a town called Montgomery County, which is in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, I bet you spend every night in Virginia. I'll bet you do.
Oh, come on, will ya?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, there she is, Bobby Dooley. Coming up in our third hour, Steve Bozell will be back with Harvey Wireman's Law Talk.
...1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Harvey Wireman Law Talk. Hello, I'm Harvey Wireman. How to avoid trick-or-treaters legally? I'll be back in a moment with the answer. Harvey Wireman Law Talk, brought to you by Cougars, still the best cigar around. How can you legally avoid trick-or-treaters? So many of my clients have tried to discourage trick-or-treating by putting razor blades in apples or poisoning the candy, which is utterly without regard for human life and is illegal. You can avoid trick-or-treaters legally. When they come to your door and ask trick-or-treat, simply tell them that they are trespassing. You should use this phrase, "I have to inform you, you are trespassing, and by law I can have you removed from my property. If you were to try and enter my residence, because a lot of these young people think there's a haunted house inside, I would have the right to shoot you." Another thing that may be possible, and many people, of course, can option this, panhandling and soliciting is illegal in many states. Check with your local municipality. But you may say, when they say trick-or-treat, "By law, soliciting and panhandling is against the law. It is a misdemeanor. Therefore, you are in violation of the law.
And if you try and enter my residence to see if I have any candy in a bowl near the door, I can, by law, have you shot. So when it comes to Halloween, you're really dealing with three distinct sections of the penal code: trespassing, soliciting, and panhandling. And in many instances, it may be legally remedied by using a firearm. This is Harvey Wireman for Law Talk. Join Harvey Wireman Law Talk Saturday mornings right after Bill Handel on most of these stations.
Harvey Wireman Law Talk brought to you by the USC Law School.
1-800-449-8686. Thanks, Harvey. Always good to know the Phil Henry Show. Steve Bozell coming up in our next hour. This hour we will have our mailbag for you. And a little look at the news as, oh, by the way, Team America opened this evening. I hope you go and see it. I don't care what the filmmakers say in the press that there really isn't much of a point to the movie. There's a very distinct and recognizable point to the film, and it's a great one. And the point is, we all may be just a little bit, shall we say, running roughshod at times, but it's better to run roughshod for the right reasons than to not do anything at all. And so, something like that, I think, anyway. And plus, Alec Baldwin's a slob, and so's Tim Robbins. I think those are the main ingredients of that movie. Paris Hilton is opening a club in Orlando, Florida. May I just say something, folks? Nothing against Paris, but this caught my eye. Club Paris will open on New Year's Eve in Orlando, according to a businessman who'll own it. Oh, yeah. You see, here's what happens. They go to the celebrity and they say, Ms. Hilton, can we license your name? Yeah, why? Because we want to open up a nightclub with your name on it. Okay, I get cut in for such and such percent. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say. Next thing you know, the drinks are watered down, they're too expensive, the food is lousy, and the joint closes in 6 months. I hope I gave you guys a running start down there in Orlando with that Club Paris. I'm not trying to jinx a guy's business enterprise, but look at, anybody remember, what was it called, Glam Slam? Remember Prince's joint? Prince had like three of those. He had one in Minneapolis, which everybody thought was just wonderful. I went in there, and what did I get? I got a Heineken beer for $20, and it tasted more like a Miller Lite. And the place is gone within a few months. Same thing, he tried to open up one down in Miami. And will we ever forget Planet Hollywood? Thanks a lot for that. Thanks for all the dedication, you guys. I went into a Planet Hollywood. Look, nothing against the guys that were the principal partners in that, which is Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, and somebody else, I forget. But the hamburger in there, first of all, the hamburger cost $50, and McDonald's has it beat by light years. So you went in there and you looked at movie star memorabilia, sat in a table that was like made out of plastic and some hybrid metal, and somebody came and asked you, did you want a Schwarzenegger burger or a space rocket tamale or whatever the hell they call it? And they, you know, too much bread, baby. Too much bread, not enough meat. You know what I'm saying? John Kerry's comment about Mary Cheney. Apparently people didn't dig it. I understood where the senator was coming from. I think he was well-meaning. I think he was trying to say, however, here's what people seem to have the problem with, and I understand this too. She's not your daughter. She's someone else's daughter. So what are you bringing her up for to make a point about your campaign, you know? Mary Cheney is a lesbian. Yeah, that happens to be Dick Cheney's daughter. So therefore what? So therefore she's a human being? Like the father and the mother don't already know that? Anyway, an overwhelming majority of voters believe it was wrong for Democratic nominee John Kerry to have mentioned it in Wednesday's presidential debate. And now, according to CBS, they can't stand his guts and they're all voting for Bush. Bush now leads in the polls 99% to 1%. Wow, that was quite a flip-flop, baby. The families of the World Trade Center are upset, man. They want to go to the dump and pick out little bits of human remains and have it spread out there at the World Trade Center. This stuff at some point has to end, folks. With the greatest of respect to the World Trade Center families, what's your point? Well, you know, they shouldn't be putting up this building, this memorial, unless all of the remains. You want people to go through all the cement dust and pick out bits of bone and flesh that is now decomposed some 3 years later? Would you get a grip?
You lost your loved ones. There's a thing that people do when they lose a family member, and we're all trying to be respectful. When somebody says to you, oh, I lost my husband or I lost my son 6 months ago, what do you automatically say? I'm very sorry to hear that. But believe me when I tell you, living in the world that I live in talk radio, people always try to use that emotional manipulation to get more than what they're due. See, you're due this. My husband died. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. You don't get to have the Taj Mahal automatically, you know? My husband just died, so I think all the food tonight should be free. No. Just take a tip from the funeral services. Like the mortuaries, your husband just died, it's still going to cost you 5 G's for the casket. Just take a tip for how sensitive those guys are. Yes, of course, we have here the beautiful premium burial casket. It's lined with beautiful mahogany. You know, my husband is dead, and I'm... Yeah, it's real great. Anyway, that'll be about 5 G's. Well, wait a minute. Don't you have any sensitivity? Yeah, I got a lot of sensitivity, man. I got sensitivity for me and how I'm going to eat tomorrow. Yeah, but tell you, Lanny, dig this. If your people died as a result of that plane going into the building, and then you found their body and you were going to bury them, who's going to pay for the casket, man? The government? No, you got to pay for that casket, right? The funerals that were held for the firefighters in New York, the families had to pay for the funeral, right? But you cats want the government to start paying for every bloody thing, including going through a landfill to find little bits of, like, some guy's eyeglasses and maybe some pubic hair. No. That's going to cost millions. Look, they tried to do the very best they could by the families, the World Trade Center families. They're going to put this nice memorial there. It's going to acknowledge the great sacrifice. It's going to, but sometimes it just isn't enough for some people, okay? Well, enough's enough, man. They're going to stick it there. They already designed it. That's just the end of the road, all right? How long do you want to keep banging a drum and having people, I bet you can make a cottage industry out of this. Yes, you know, my family died at the World Trade Center. Oh, well, then, hell, let me just give you your cable for free. Thank you. How much is that? Well, it's today we got 2-for-1 on the tamales. You can also get the tacos, and, of course, we got the bean burrito. My family died at the World Trade Center. It's free. 10 years from now. Yeah, how much is the sport vacation and fly fishing package to Wyoming? Yes, sir, all on, including the airfare? Yeah, that's about $5,000. My family died at the World Trade Center. For you, $50. All right. Just how many pictures were taken of John Kerry in Vietnam? You'd almost think he had Oliver Stone following him around when he was there. I got more film footage of this guy. He's got photographs, film footage, video archives, fingerprints of Vietnamese that he shot. Him standing there with his arm around the Vietnamese guy just before he shot him. More pictures. This guy has got the most chronicled career in Vietnam of any guy I saw. I ain't saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying a guy served the country dishonorably, but every time I look on TV, there's Kerry, and there's another little piece of Brownie 8 footage of him sitting there on his Swift boat, staring very, you know, ruggedly into the camera. Did that cat, honest to God, man, how many guys went to Vietnam with a Brownie 8? Hey, Bobby, could you get just a shot of me here? I'm going to climb up in the tank turret and drop a hand grenade in. Few high school oh, by the way, I got to address this thing. Another guy that streaked that high school graduation, that's a big news today. Some guy streaked a high school graduation, and they gave him 2 years in the joint, and everyone thinks it's really harsh. Well, take this into consideration. The guy's 18, and he ran nude through a ceremony where there were children present. Now, I understand that in his mind it wasn't so much sexual as it was just a prank, right? And yes, it may be that we need to educate our kids that not all nudity is sexual in nature. I'm perfectly willing to kind of go with that one. But you'll pardon me if I'm the guy that gets to decide when and if and how my kids are exposed to that world. When you're a full-grown adult, and I use that advisedly because my understanding from the people who saw him running nude, he wasn't exactly full-grown, and you're running nude through a crowd, and my kid's there? Yeah, I'll stick your ass in jail for 6 months. Learn to live with that, man. You an adult? Welcome to the world of adults, to paraphrase Jack Nicholson in The Last Detail. Welcome to the wonderful world of beep, kid. 1-800-449-8686. Our mailbag coming up, Steve Bozell in our second hour, or our third hour, rather, here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up next hour will be Steve Bozell. Mr. Bozell joins us, a construction contractor from Corona, California. We also have our mailbag. And I got David Hall, who is our vice president of syndication, on the line. David?
Yeah, Phil, I'm sorry to bother you. And I would not bother you if it were not an emergency. And I ask the indulgence of your audience here tonight.
What's up?
It's a little embarrassing, but I need for you to give Bud Dickman, who is your news intern, $20.
What? You need $20?
I do, Phil. It is an emergency, and I will explain it to you later. But I am having a little bit of a problem, and I'm sorry I couldn't get Bud on the phone. I would have spoken to him during the break. So I do apologize.
That's not a problem at all, man. You need 20. Buddy needs the 20?
Yeah, just...
All right.
It's an emergency, Phil. I'm sorry.
Here is, I got, look at this, I got two fives.
Just $20, bud.
Yeah, I'm going to get it, Mr. Hall.
I got two fives and a 10. Here you go, bud. There's $20.
Thank you very much. Can Bud hear me?
Yeah, turn on the overhead speaker.
Can you hear me, bud?
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
All right, when you get back to the theater, I want a jumbo root beer and a box of red licorice.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Can I just jump in?
Yeah.
That's what you need the $20 for?
Yes, sir.
An emergency, and what are you guys doing?
We're seeing Team America. What seems to be the problem?
Well, what's the emergency about a jumbo root beer and a box of red licorice?
I needed to have something to drink and eat. What's the problem? Went out to see this Team America because you're in it. All 3 seconds of you.
It's more than 3 seconds.
All right, well, whatever it is, but I want to get... I don't understand why you're making an issue of this in the middle of your show.
You call up and tell me you got an emergency, $20, yeah, get me a jumbo root beer and a box of red licorice.
Come here, Mr. Hall.
I'm not asking you, bud. I'm just talking to David.
Look, don't worry about Bud and what he's doing for me, okay?
Is your name in the credits, Mr. Henry?
Yes, my name's in the credits.
Because that's where we're going.
Yeah, we don't give a crap about the movie. We just want to make sure that you're not lying. So we...
You want to make sure I'm not lying, so you're going to sit there?
Yeah, I want to sit and wait for the credits.
When's the movie start?
It already started.
You mean you're not in there?
No, I'm only going in at the end to see the credits. God! So while I'm sitting out here in the parking lot, I want Bud to go in and get me some red licorice and...
And a jumbo root beer. Good for you. I want my $20 back.
No.
Don't you do it, bud.
Give me my $20 back.
What am I going to do? I'm going with...
Come back. Go get him, Chris.
What are you going to have Chris chase him?
Go get him and get my $20.
Well, you cheap creep. All I wanted was...
I'm going to go in there and watch the credits to the movie to make sure he's not lying. I'm hanging up.
Don't you hang up on your...
Hey, you going to go see the movie? No, man. I just want to make sure you're not lying. I'm going to sit and wait for the credits. Meanwhile, he's sucking on a root beer and eating licorice out in a parking lot, probably scaring the kids half to death. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. And we are going to go through some more of our news later on, as well as listen to what Mr. Steve Bozell has to say to us. Let's go to another phone call, though, before we do that. Also, our mailbag is coming up. This is RC. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, great show as always, Phil.
Thanks a lot.
I went over to see the Team America movie that you are in tonight, and it is R-rated. So I want to let a lot of the kids know they're not even going to... They won't let you in to see it.
You... Excuse me. Excuse me.
Got your tongue?
No, I just need a sip of... I need a sip of coffee, I'm sorry.
But I think what I wanted you to do, if you could, because I'm at the theater now, is to say to the manager that it's okay for me to come in.
You know what, kid, I'm not your dad, and is the ticket guy there?
Yeah, the ticket guy is here, and I told him that you were in the movie and that it was okay to let me in.
Wait a minute. All right, put the guy on the line.
Here he is.
Hello.
Yeah, yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah.
And who am I speaking with?
It's John Brady, Phil.
Yeah, John, this young guy wants to go see this movie. He is a caller and a listener of mine, and I wondered if he could see it because he wants to hear me in the Team America movie.
Well, look, he already saw the movie today, and when, you know, I just...
Well, I play the voice of the computer, and...
Well, he's, you say you're in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you he was, you douche.
Well, don't call him that, okay?
Well, the guy won't let me...
Let me handle this. The kid's been in to see the movie. He wasn't supposed to go see the movie. He says you're in the movie. And
well, I do a couple of voices.
What voice do you do?
I do, like, the voice of the computer.
Can you do it for me, just so I can make sure?
Yeah, yeah. It's, good morning, Mr. John Stone. And I got another line in there, something like...
That doesn't sound anything like it.
He's in the movie. He says he is.
Give a crap what he said. Do another one.
Yes, the terrorists are planning an attack.
No. No, that doesn't sound like the computer. Okay, here.
Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. Get the guy back.
No, he's a... Thanks a lot, Mr. Henry. Now you made me look like the world's largest D-O-U-C-H...
I know how to spell it.
You know what I have to do now, don't you? I gotta go see Shark Tale. Thank you very much.
Forget, I don't give a crap whether the theater owner knows whether I'm in the flick or not. I gotta go see Shark Tale. Is that PG-13? Oh, good, my kids can go see that this weekend. They're all about, I wanna go see Team America. You know what, man? You went over and had lunch with Mr. Parker and Mr. Stone, and they showed you clips from the movie, and let that just be your taste of Team America until you're old enough to watch it. Do you ever, like, take your kid into R-rated flicks? Sometimes I take the boys in. Like, I'll never forget, I showed them The Exorcist and a couple of crap, you know, movies. And I really want to show them Goodfellas. That's my big thing. I want to, come on. And Bronx Tale. Bronx Tale actually is a great movie about coming of age and all that stuff, but it's very violent. I want to show them that. And, of course, none of the flicks that I like, they like, especially when you tell them it was made before 1990. You might as well be telling them it's Charlie Chaplin.
When was it made?
Okay, here we go. 1989.
Oh, what are you talking about, man? I don't want to see some old...
It was in color, man, and many of the people that are in that movie are still working.
Well, do we have to?
No, you don't have to. Steve Bozell coming up next hour. We also have the mailbag. And on Monday night, Vernon Dozier joins us on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up later on, of course, as we mentioned, Stephen Bozell. Monday night, it's Vernon Dozier. And in just a few minutes, another segment of Walking Through the World named Frank Chubb. Frank Chubb will be our special guest. Mr. Chubb has apparently made a cottage industry out of writing books about having the name Frank Chubb. And while I thought that having him on our show a couple of times is a good idea, frankly... He is now a regular feature on a program. I'm not really sure whether I appreciate it, but I've been told by our programming people that I have to make room for him on Friday nights, every other Friday night, for a segment called Walking Through the World named Frank Chubb, and what it's like to have the name Frank Chubb. I'm not familiar with how that could be. Anyway, it's right now time for our mailbag, and then we'll be talking with Frank Chubb. Here's one from Michael Fallon. And I guess he's asking me the question. I said, well, there's really no reason to, quote, hate Bush. Now, I use the word hate Bush, and Michael writes, how about distrust at least? He's a fundamentalist Christian, true believer, who would happily constitutionally outlaw both abortion and gay marriage. You love your kids? One's a girl, right? And how do you know one of the boys doesn't turn out a little light in the loafers? Well, I don't even distrust the guy. I know exactly what he's about, man. See, in other words, when you say to me distrust or hate, those words, everybody wants to go to the extreme. How about just like I disagree with the guy? How about that? How can I just trust a guy who's completely upfront as much as he can be about something? And I'm sorry if you think he lied about Iraq, but he didn't lie. He was probably as dumb as John Kerry would have been, if not dumber, Kerry would have been in that situation. It's easy to say that you hate somebody because it tells us that you strongly disagree with them, but it's not a very accurate word or a descriptive word. Thank you very much. Thank you for your indulgence. Hi, Phil. Listening to the show lots, and I just don't get why it's okay for you to make your opinion about subjects like the war, for me to make my opinion about subjects like the war in Iraq, and then you turn around and slam folks like Sean Penn and other celebrities who are doing the exact same thing. I've even heard you comment that this movie you're involved in has a Sean Penn puppet. Please explain, because it does make sense to me. Mike Manning in Santa Monica. I'd be happy to explain to you, Mike. This is what I do for a living. You understand? In other words, my job is to comment on society on a radio show here in the broadcast medium, all right? Sean Penn is an actor. And while I didn't say that it was wrong of him to express his opinions, I think it's wrong of us to put extra stock in his opinion because he's a freaking celebrity. Sean Penn's an actor. It doesn't mean he knows anything more about these subjects than anybody else. You know what you're getting when you tune into my radio show. You're getting a radio show about opinion, satire, parody, and comment on society. That's what I do for a living. Sean Penn can make all the comments he wants in the context of his movies because that's what he does for a living. And I might disagree with those opinions, but at least the cat is not stepping outside of his medium. But when the guy expects to get FaceTime with the American public and expects to get some notoriety for running around, running his freaking mouth off about Iraq during, you know, giving speeches or writing newspaper articles. Now the guy's outside of the bounds of what it is he supposedly is good at. So that's the difference. Somebody asked me the same question about Martin Sheen. How come you get to say something and Martin Sheen doesn't? This is what I do for a living, man. Don't you understand? I got a radio show. Has Sean Penn got a radio show? Last I checked, he doesn't. He's a movie guy. Make a freaking movie about Iraq, Sean. I'm sorry that you got to wait 3 years to get a movie made, but hey, that's the business that you chose, dude, not me. I chose a business where I can get my big fat mouth on the air every day, and everything I think of can just kind of come dropping out like a gumball. But Sean Penn, unfortunately, chose the movie business. He lives in a time where we have a little bit more immediate access to the public, and so he's kind of pining away for that. He wants to have immediate access. Well, then do what I did. Go down to Winter Park, Florida, or Ventura, California, and pay your freaking dues, you punk face. Thank you. I am Sean Penn, and I want immediate access to microphones and cameras and stuff, because I'm an actor. Well, then go freaking act, man. Dear Phil, I listen to your show because of your skills as an entertainer. I could care less if you're a liberal, conservative, gypsy, Martian, or whatever. Sometimes you make me laugh so hard, I almost wet my pants. Keep it up and press on, Laura Bush. I'm kidding. It's a guy by the name of Jack Stockwell. President Bush is losing the California vote, writes Thomas Mobley. Phil, you should vote for someone who actually believes in the Constitution. Michael Badnarik. Neither of the major party candidates have any interest in anything but finding loopholes in the Constitution in order to buy votes with your tax dollars. Be a real American and vote Libertarian. And you ran the wrong character for president. Bud Dickman would beat Bush or Kerry, hands down. Thank you, Thomas. You know what and now a Phil Hendry comment. Are you guys the same as me? Are you getting tired of, like, it's one thing to disagree with a guy, right? But are you getting tired of opponents of any candidate saying these real extreme, they would find loopholes in the Constitution to fund their candidates with tax? In other words, it isn't just that you disagree with Bush, you distrust him and hate him, right? And it isn't just that Bush maybe doesn't understand the Constitution or perhaps understands it too well that he wants to add a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. No, he wants to find loopholes, and he wants to buy votes with tax dollars. It isn't that they're just buying ad time on TV. They're buying votes, right? Why can't we just say, hey, this guy is putting a lot of money into a commercial enterprise that is promoting his candidacy, a candidacy I don't agree with. I don't think the man has the right ideas. I'm not going to vote for him. But it's all full of this extreme rhetoric. Because, what is it, man? Everybody's so full of freaking angst. Yeah, I can dig it. Would you just wake up to the fact that we are in a serious situation in this country? That not only do we have all of the little internal problems that we have, which are nothing compared to the fact that we got a terrorist threat here that's now been made very evident. They want to kill us, every mother's son of us. They want to kill you, me, your kids, your grandkids. They want to wipe, if you're Jewish and American. Remember what Al-Qaeda said? It is an absolute badge of honor to kill Jews and Americans. I wonder what they get if they kill a Jewish American. Is that like double the points on whatever sick video game they're playing? Right? And now everybody's like waking up to it. Or what's worse is they're closing their eyes to this. Well, it's all our fault. We did something that's wrong. It's Bush, 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 Bush. Oh, come on. Grow a freaking pair. Just grow a pair for a change. And face the freaking world head on, man. They're over there, they're bad guys, and they don't care who the president is. They're going to kill us all if they get a chance, okay? Frankly, though, they would much rather Kerry be the president because they think he's going to be easier on him than Bush. And if you don't believe that, just ask yourself the honest question. Who do you think those cats would vote for if they had a chance? Yesterday, I read this whole thing about in The Guardian in London, hey, you can influence the American election. You can influence how people vote. You, a Brit, you can call up and you can get them to vote for Kerry, man. Everybody in freaking Europe wants Kerry. Everybody in the freaking Middle East wants Kerry. You want to know why? Because Bush is kicking their ass. That's why. Why? They want Bush out of there because he's being so easy on them? Maybe it's because they want to vote for Kerry because he's going to reconstruct the Middle East, Mr. Henry, in a much more humane way. And that, yeah, okay, sure. You go right ahead. You buy that one. Dear Phil, now back to the mailbag. Michael Feinberg in San Francisco writes, Dear Phil, I'm not kidding. Last Sunday night, a teary-voiced Bay Area Bush basher called the Christine Kraft Show on KGO and said that Christopher Reeves died, lost his will to live, from the bad vibes put out by Bush during the second debate concerning his opposition to stem cell research. She was not, I don't think, even drunk in a hot tub. Mark Feinberg, San Francisco. Dig that! That's life imitating Phil, man, because we had on Bobby Dooley. Wasn't Bobby saying that? Or Margaret? No, Margaret. Only Margaret was on Monday night, and this was on Sunday night. So Margaret's imitating this caller. But in any event, Bush killed Christopher Reeves? What are they going to do, man, when Kerry gets elected and they start getting pissed off at him? Because he didn't do this, and he didn't do that. Name me one president that got elected that people were, like, happy with all the way down the line. And said, oh, yeah, what a great guy. You know? It's going to be really cool, man. It's going to be November 2nd is the election. Don't bother voting, because if Bush wins, say you're going to vote for Bush, as we said yesterday, if he wins, they're going to say it was bought, it was it's fraud, it's election fraud, he hates black people, and he paid off all the black folks not to vote for him. And remember, if you are black, you are expected to go to the polls and vote for Kerry. How dare you even think about voting for Bush? You're black. Just take a good long look in the mirror, take a look at that dark skin, you'll remember, it's Kerry, that's the guy you should vote for. Public service reminder from Popeye's Fried Chicken. Tonight, Steve Bozell in a moment. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to get on the line now. Coming up, as I mentioned, a visit with Mr. Steve Bozell. Frank Chubb joins us from Corona Del Mar this evening. Mr. Chubb, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil, although I suppose I heard your comments about you intimated that you're being forced to talk to me this night.
Well, I didn't want to. I'm sorry, sir. It's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's I don't know how much mileage we get out of this bit that we're doing, walking through the world named Frank Chubb, and your experiences having the name Frank Chubb.
Well, let me tell you something. It's never been a dull moment for me, and this is a cathartic thing for me, and it's also cathartic for people who are saddled with a name that's unusual. And by talking about it, I think it helps me, and it may help your listeners.
Well, I mean, one week you called up and you said that, you know, you got upset and when people called you Little Chubb or called you Chubb Jr. and stuff like that.
Let me, you know, you've got a fairly pedestrian name, Phil, and Hendry is not the most common name, but probably the worst thing people do with your last name is misspell it. In the case of having the name Frank Chubb, even when you're young, and especially when you're young, it can have a traumatic effect. As long as we're talking about Halloween, I wanted to come to your show tonight with a story about Halloween. And
this has to do with you having the name Frank Chubb.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I had an idea for a costume when I was in the sixth grade, and I worked very long and hard on constructing it, and I wanted to do something different from the other kids. I wanted to show my imagination and flair and something other than, you know, the standard witch costume or the ghost costume.
Okay.
And so I arrived at school a day with this brand new costume, and the kids were all smirking and giggling and, you know, turned their back on me. And
what was the costume?
Well, it was, I'm sorry, I came dressed as a banana. And so they thought, you know, ha, 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 you know.
I mean, that's it?
Well,
I mean, I can understand.
Look, when you have the name Frank Chubb.
Yeah, I understand, and you came as a banana.
All right, so you don't think it's all that interesting. I'll tell you right now, if you're a young lady out there and your name is Lotta Chubb or...
Yeah, you already did that material, man, 2 weeks ago. Lotta Chubb. I just...
Well, can I tell you one other thing?
Go ahead.
How would you like to be a young boy playing on the playground and the girls singing, Chubby, 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 you'll never be my hubby, Chubby, 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 whoop. And this guy, Chubby Checker, boy, what I'd like to do to him on a dark night.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Frank.
Oh, yeah, oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Phil. Yeah, I guess you're hanging up now.
Yeah, man, what else am I going to talk to you about, man?
Yeah, okay, so you got to go now?
Yeah, well, okay, going through the world named Frank Chubb. You dressed up as a banana, the kid snickered.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, great.
All right, get drop dead.
Look at that, see? Tell Hall I don't want to have that bit on the show anymore. The guy comes on with his lame-ass story about being Frank freaking Chubb. Sorry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. San Francisco. Dateline. An old lady waiting in line for a flu shot dropped dead because she cracked her head. First of all, I don't like the way this was reported. SanFranciscoGate.com or whatever you people are supposed to be doing up there. The old bag died, and I shouldn't say old bag, but she died when she passed out from standing in line too long and she cracked her head. The way you got it written here, you'd think she died from the flu. She said, says her East Bay woman dies during long wait for a flu vaccine. What happened was the lady got a little bit of sun stroke or overcome by the heat. She went to walk and sit down in the shade. She tripped and she, you know, hit her head on the sidewalk and she died. What's really the point here is the long line this poor lady was having to stand in to get her flu vaccine. Now dig this. This website or this news service doesn't want... This is another one of these how to read a news story thing. The nation's limited supply of flu vaccine has led to long lines at offices and stores offering vaccinations. Not the fact there's a lot of people trying to get the flu vaccine that don't need it. They say, and I'm quoting directly, most of those waiting in line are the elderly and young children, those most susceptible to influenza. Oh, really? How do you know that? How do you lunatics at the news service up there, sfgate.com, know that? That most of the people standing in line are elderly? And how about this, man? I'm willing to tell you, and I don't even live in the Bay Area, that most of the people standing in line are not elderly and young. Most of the people standing in line are just a bunch of schlubs like half of you clowns that work at your website who are taking up space that some old lady could be standing in line and getting her flu shot. You want to know why this old lady died? You killed her. SanFranciscoGate.com. Thank you. There, that's how I... This is how I'm going to be approaching the news from now on. You want to know why men and women are dying in Iraq? Dan Rather is killing them, murdering them, with his lack of support for the war in Iraq. And as far as the old lady who died in San Francisco because she couldn't get her flu vaccine, the sloppy reporting of the SanFranciscoGate.com murdered her as if they'd walked up to her with a ball-peen hammer and cracked her skull open. You murdered an old lady. How do you feel? Old ladies that we've killed at SanFranciscoGate.com or SFGate.com or SFJackass.com, you murdered an old lady with your sloppy crap can reporting. Murdered an old woman. Oh, my God. And you, rather. How do you feel about the young men? And here's another one. Michael Moore is killing young men and women in Iraq. You know why? By his lack of support, they go into battle demoralized. They're that just a little bit less aware of their surroundings, and they get shot by an Iraqi because they're depressed, because Michael Moore is putting them down, saying that they're sloppy and badly trained. Moore, you are responsible for thousands of young people dying in Iraq. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it. Fatso. Dan Rather, Michael Moore, Peter Jennings, all of you murdered young people in Iraq this week. I really appreciate that, man. That's just, yeah, gee, thanks a lot. Cats, really, you know, they open up their newspaper, they read some crap you guys are talking, they get all bummed out, they pick up their rifle, they go off to waste some Iraqi, and because they're thinking, you know, maybe they're depressed, they're not aware of the Iraqi shooting at them, and boom. By the way, speaking of our young men and women in Iraq doing a job, the Marines are hitting Fallujah as we speak. You want to know why? Because Zarqawi lives in Fallujah. You know the guy who cuts people's heads off while they're still alive? Zarqawi? He lives in Fallujah, and they won't turn him over to the U.S. authorities. The people of Fallujah, the city authorities, I should say, are protecting this scumbag. I have never heard of a group of people more worthy of having bombs dropped on them relentlessly than people that aren't going to turn over some guy that's hacking guys' heads off with a steak knife. All right, Steve Bozell coming up next. Don't forget the Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. And by the way, if you do want to talk to Steve, you can email him at stevebozell.com. Actually, what is it? No, it's stevebozell@philhendryshow.com. Anyway, we'll tell you about it tomorrow. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Just a program reminder that the Tim Robbins report will return next Monday, as well as Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. On Tuesday, tomorrow night, we'll have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Thursday night, Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Friday, of course, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight, we welcome on a gentleman who has filed a lawsuit, or is proposing at least, this is not just one lawsuit, it's actually several lawsuits or several points in a civil claim that encompasses some wide-ranging topics. Mr. Stephen Bozell is with us. He's a construction contractor from Corona, California. This boils down to something that's fascinating to me, Mr. Bozell. And first of all, thank you for being on our program.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. You are of a different political stripe than your wife. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. I am a registered Republican. My wife is a Democrat.
Okay, and the problem that has occurred in your home really can be traced to that more than anything personal, correct?
Yes, sir. It is my contention, and will be my contention, that the political differences between the two of us put my son at risk. We have a new infant son, Adam. He's 4 months old. I had taken him with me on a series of errands that I was running last month. This would be in the month of July, which time my son had, as babies will, he had had a bowel movement in his diaper, which did cause at that time a considerable amount of embarrassment to me.
But you're claiming all of this occurred why? Because of your wife?
Well, what happened was, my wife is, as I said, a registered Democrat, and she and I have had some very serious conversations, and I had told her that she was a member of a party that will stop at nothing to get John Kerry elected president, and she took that, you know, she said that I was wrong, so on and so forth, but she proved me right when she did what she did with my son.
Well, you know, usually Tuesday nights we do a Campaign 2004 report, and you're talking, this is a political thing, but it has to do with the personalities of yourself and your wife. My wife is a Republican. I'm a Democrat. We're kind of reversed in that way. Can you tell me what happened with regard to your son, how this put your son at risk?
Yes, sir. My wife has been breastfeeding our boy on the Tuesday night. This would have been Monday. July 15th, I believe, is in the civil plane. I took my son to the bank the morning after my wife had been breastfeeding him. My wife had been eating earlier in that day and late the preceding evening, which was Sunday night. She'd been eating some very spicy food, if you will, Mexican food, which included a great deal of beans and some spicy meats and so on and so forth. I forget exactly, but there were some tamales and so on, which is not, I'm told, what you should be eating when you're breastfeeding a child. On Tuesday, I took my son into the branch of the Bank of America in Corona, California, where I was going to deposit some payroll checks. I was also going to make out some payroll checks for our company. At that time, as I was standing in line at the merchant's window, and there were about 10, 15 other people there, my son did have a bowel movement in his diaper. It became very readily evident, and it was pretty evident within seconds that you could tell that people noticed and so on and so forth.
Because of the smell, correct?
I'm sorry, sir?
Because of the smell of this little boy, it, you know, going in his diaper, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct. It was more of a diarrhea. My wife, when I told her about it later that night, and the embarrassment it caused me, she laughed and made a comment, maybe I'd think twice about voting Republican. And
well, she was kidding, right, sir?
Well, this is the part that I think is interesting. Yes, sure, she was kidding, but also she was serious. And it's one of those situations where someone will say, "Oh, I'm only kidding," and you know that they mean it. I think she very much got a kick out of embarrassing me the way she did in public in front of everybody there in the bank, people that I've done business with for so very many years. And when my son sent one into his diaper, I figured, well, okay, that's...
I mean, as a new father, if I can interrupt you, sir?
Yes, sir.
As a new father, we have to expect this. As a new mother, we have to expect our babies...
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
I mean, the babies are going to do what they're going to do wherever. That's why they have change rooms everywhere.
Absolutely. That's correct. However, my wife knows very well that when you're breastfeeding a child and you're eating hot, spicy Mexican foods and everything that'll make a baby do that, and it was very diarrhea-like, and I got to go find a change room. Plus, you could smell it everywhere. She knows very well that was going to embarrass me, because
why would that be embarrassing?
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, if I'm a new father and I got a baby and the baby has a little accident in his diaper, I figure, well, that's what babies do. Why would that embarrass you?
Well, the immediate assumption was made by people standing in line that somehow I had broken wind or I passed gas and it was me, and you could tell they had noticeable looks on their faces.
And all right, so your lawsuit, and we're going to get into the lawsuit. I want to give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Your lawsuit stems from the fact that you and your wife have these two political points of view, and you feel that this was calculated on her part.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, I do. And again, these are Democrats who will stop at nothing to try to get John Kerry elected. My wife, to the point where she would embarrass me in public because she's angry at me for being a Republican. She always has been angry at me. It's something we've never agreed on. And any chance she gets to embarrass me.
Now, how would this connect with your political point of view? Say you go into a bank, your son has an accident in his diaper, people, you know, notice, and you're embarrassed. How would that look unfavorably on Republicans?
Well, number one, as I said, these are people that I've done business with. Most of the people in that bank I have known for at least the last 15, 20 years, as long as I've owned my business. They're all people who are familiar with me, and they're all familiar with my politics, and certainly I do talk political things with them. Now, I come into their bank, and they identify me with the Republican Party and the way that I vote. Now, my son, you know, puts one in his diaper, and now they think I did it or whatever, and everybody in the bank is looking at me. Like I'm rude or something, and
but they see you're carrying a baby, right?
Yes, sir. They see I'm carrying a baby, but any good mother knows that when you're going to take a baby out for the day, you give him foods that'll bind him up, cheeses, meats, things like this. Those things will bind a child up. You don't give him some runny diarrhea breast milk that you know got messed up from eating Mexican food. And so
your wife purposefully did not give this baby foods that would bind him and keep him from going in his diaper. She gave him breast milk that obviously came from a woman who had just had Mexican food, hence the diarrhea in his diaper, and hence your embarrassment.
That is exactly correct, yes, sir. Now, my attorney is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California. The counts that we have been looking at and that she's recommending is that I do very tragically file some civil claim against my wife for breastfeeding in this manner, endangering my son, and also making me look like a fool, basically, in front of everybody that I know. And number two, the Department of Commerce and the Chamber of Commerce for the country of Mexico, and through their National Commerce Department, that they originate these beans out of their country.
Is it, what, are you going to sue Mexico for making beans?
Well, what we're hoping to do is sue the Department of Commerce of Mexico that they send beans up here and they don't let anybody know. If you eat these and then you breastfeed a kid,
it's going to give the child some kind of a lower intestinal problem?
It's going to give the kid some runny diarrhea. And I think she purposely ate that particular food so as to force my little baby boy to expel, send one out right in the bank line. She had many choices of food to eat, and she chose to.
I mean, this is amazing. You know, my wife and I trade barbs. It never gets hostile.
Well, it's never been hostile between us.
Why do you think it's gotten hostile?
Because I think the stakes are very high in this campaign. I think the stakes are so high in this campaign, and my wife, being a Democrat, is stooping so low to keep George Bush from being elected president that she would even use my child, my sweet little boy, who's only 4 months old, who I love very deeply. And give him the runny diarrhea in his diaper so that I look like I cut one, or however you want to put it, in line in front of so many of these people.
All right. I was talking with Stephen Bozell. If you just joined us, he is a construction contractor from Corona, California, whose son, went to the bathroom in his diaper, as babies will. But the cause of this might have been some spicy Mexican food that his wife ate. She is breastfeeding. And he believes she did it on purpose to embarrass him in line at the bank, where so many of the people there he knows know him as a Republican and know that he's a very outspoken Republican. Do you think this is going to reflect badly on their election choices?
Well, I think so many of the people that I speak with in business and so on during the day, a lot of them are undecided. I do talk them up. I say President Bush is really going to help us and everything. And now a lot of these people too are some of the young tellers in line and so on.
A lot of the young kids that are working at the windows?
Yes, sir. And now that I come into the bank, they say, well, there's Mr. Bozell. He's a Republican. Now it smells bad. And the first thing they're thinking is, was it me, or so on and so forth?
But then they find out it was your son, right?
They find out it was my son. But then they also will think, like anybody will, how come that baby wasn't fed foods that would bind him up good so he doesn't, like, let it go in his shorts or whatever?
All right. You feel your wife could have fed that child some foods that would have bound him up and he wouldn't have had to go in his diaper?
Absolutely. She knew it, too. She did it to make me look like a fool.
All right, hold on for a minute. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Maybe you're married to somebody who's of a different political stripe. In his family, he feels the political differences have gotten so bad that his wife is looking to embarrass him in public, is looking to turn people against him, and is using their infant son to do that, breastfeeding the child after eating some kind of a Mexican food that gave the child, lower colon problems. And that, Mr. Bozell feels, reflects on him badly. 1-800-449-8686. The interesting part of this case is he is considering a civil action against his wife for breastfeeding after eating Mexican food, and a civil action against the country of Mexico and their Commerce Department down there to let breastfeeding mothers know that, when they send beans north, you should not eat those, as they could create this problem in your infant. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with the world-famous Phil Henry Show in just a moment.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bust to Dollywood if you'll shut up.
One
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yeah, I understand that. Stephen Bozell with us, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell has been prominent in the news lately as he is considering legal action against his wife for eating Mexican food and then breastfeeding their son, which caused the child to have a particularly odious bowel movement, I guess you could say, in his diaper. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. It was... The point is, I was in line at the bank with 10 or 15 people standing there, and I had Adam sitting in one of those, you know, kind of a reverse papoose baby carrier that I was wearing on my back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the stench, or, you know, just the stench of the baby starts coming out, and everybody there, of course, looks at me, and they know me to be, you know...
Well, they know you to be a Republican, and it was embarrassing for you. Your wife being a Democrat, this is something she did on purpose.
That is my belief, yes, sir, as well as the belief of my attorney, who has dealt with a lot of civil cases between husband and wife.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Brenda. Brenda, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
you know, I do not understand why you would even call a radio station or even try to do a lawsuit. Do you understand that women eat and they do not vote as they eat? I mean, you know,
my wife is a Democrat who tries to embarrass me because of my politics. She does it in a variety of ways. It certainly is not, I wouldn't put it, but she thought it was funny when I came home and I said that Adam had one go in his shorts in the bank.
But I doubt if she was thinking it was funny because of the issue. She was thinking it was funny because maybe you were a little embarrassed.
What no, you could tell. You could tell the way she's kind of, she wagged her finger at me as if to say, there you go. That's what you get for being
listen,
a Republican.
The two of you need to seek some counseling because
well,
you made a comment.
Are you a psychologist?
I'm a mother of three.
Well, no, but okay. Are you a psychologist and stuff?
I'm a mother. That's all it takes.
Well, my wife's a mother.
If a child goes, they go when they need to go. It doesn't mean, you know, let's plan it. And, you know, you said let's bind the child up.
You can bind the kid up with cheeses.
You know how much pain you're causing that child?
Different cheeses and sausage foods and things like that will bind him up at least
once. You don't do that to a child. That's like binding him up would be, you know what, that's causing him a pain.
No, it doesn't.
You don't do that.
No, ma'am. No, all it does is solidify, and the child will go at a different time.
Okay, well, you don't do something like that, and you two need to take your issues with some counseling.
If I could jump in, it sounds like a tough thing to do to an infant baby who's got a very delicate digestive system to begin with.
Well, the point is, my wife could have eaten a salad the night before. Instead, she had a wet...
Did your wife know that you were going to the bank the day before, the next day at a certain time?
Absolutely. She knew I was going to the bank the next morning. Instead, she has a wet steak burrito with extra hot sauce. Now the baby sails one into his diapers while I'm standing there with people that I know, and you may find it funny.
Listen, which is totally understandable, but you shouldn't have been embarrassed. You should have said, you know what, this happened, and you should have dealt with it.
Don't
but
babies...
You definitely wouldn't want to make a lawsuit. You cannot sue the state. You cannot sue people for bringing beans in from Mexico. Come on.
No, but you can sue the country of Mexico for not warning pregnant women.
No, we do it in this country all the time.
You warn pregnant women about drinking, you warn pregnant women about cigarettes, you warn pregnant women. You can warn pregnant women off eating wet steak burritos.
Okay, then tell them not to go to Del Taco because their beans are this or their meat is spicy. This is, you know what, this is what's happening to our government and our systems. You do not need to waste money, taxpayers' money, with this really pathetic issue.
I think we have to stand up for our political beliefs. This is a very pivotal year.
Well,
if you can stand up for it, you do not need to take it to our court system where it's going to cost us taxpayers' money.
Brenda, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You're going to hear that kind of description, Mr. Bozell.
My wife, one of the things she could have opted for, the mild sauce, she could have opted for, but a wet steak burrito, man, it's like she's asking for it. And you know, the other thing is...
No, but you're going to hear a lot of people say this is a wasting the taxpayers' money. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, and let's go over to Kara. Go ahead, Kara.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a comment for Mr. Bozell. I'm not quite... You got to calm me down here. I've just been laughing really hard in the car. About your child passing gas, sir, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, whether I'm Republican or Democratic. And I smell children's gas all the time in their diapers.
Ma'am, you may be laughing. In my home, it's a serious matter insofar as my wife's politics have so begun to overwhelm her ability to be a mother that she doesn't care if our kid, you know, lets it go in his shorts, and I wind up looking like the fool.
That's understandable, sir, but one thing you need to realize is a president's not going to win his election whether or not a child is pooping in his pants.
No, that's not what it's about.
Whether or not... and the fact that you think your wife is actually going to set you up, being, you know, whether you're a prominent person in your community or at your bank or whatever it is that you think, the fact that a four-month-old child takes a dump in his and takes a diarrhea in his diaper has nothing to do with political plots.
Ma'am,
if we want to talk political plots, we could go on for days and sue the entire government.
Well, but the point is, when there is a husband and a wife, you can call me names, that's fine, I'm a gentleman.
Your point is absolutely hideous.
You thought she called you an idiot? She said hideous.
All right, then my apology. The bank was filled with Republicans. My wife has been vociferously Democratic since we've been married, and every 4 years she tries something new. And finally, I'm putting my foot down, and I'm going to...
Well, what do you hope to get out of your wife? Money?
I can garnish that portion of the household income away from her, yes.
And that's understandable, but at the same time, you married your wife knowing, I'm sure, that she was a Democrat. And if you're a Republican, two people can have two different views.
Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The fact that you're going to sue your wife over a little bit of poop...
I never thought she was going to stoop so low as to specifically eat the wet steak burrito with hot sauce and make my son stink it up in a bank.
Did she enjoy the burrito, sir?
You know what,
ma'am? Were you there when she ate it?
I'm not going to dignify that with a response, thank you.
Well, I mean, were you there when she ate it?
Look at, okay. Hey,
did you eat a burrito?
Thank you very much, Kara. 1-800-449-8686. This man is suing his wife for eating hot, spicy Mexican food while breastfeeding their son. Their son had a... accident in his diaper, and it made this man look foolish in the bank, and he's suing her. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm back with Steve Bozell, construction contractor, a father, a husband from Corona, California, whose wife, he and his wife are engaged in something that's really rather tragic. He is considering suing his own wife for basically humiliating him for emotional cruelty. They are Republican and Democrat, respectively, and Mr. Bozell feels that his wife tried to humiliate him because of his Republican politics. She ate hot, spicy Mexican food the following day, and she breastfed their son that night, and the following day he took his son with him to do errands, and the son, the little boy, a four-month-old infant, had his bowel movement in the diaper that was embarrassing because of the smell and so on and so forth. Mr. Bozell believes his wife did this for political motivations. Can I ask you where you are right now, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm on we've got an 80-acre farm in Visalia, California, that my father and mother have operated for about the last 40 years, and it's a place that I love to come to, and I guess just clear my head. And
this has been emotional for you?
Yes, sir, it is. It's a very emotional thing to have to consider legal action against your own wife, about a half hour ago, she came in with Adam, so I'm very happy to see my son.
Oh, is your wife there now?
My wife is here, and my son, Adam, is here, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's take some more phone calls on this man considering suing his own wife for, you say she ate a wet steak burrito with hot sauce? Is that...
Well, it's a very, I guess... And the other thing that I want to say, I remember my wife, as she began to put the burrito in her mouth, I remember her winking at my son as she shoved it into her mouth. And I told my attorney...
I see that here. You think, in other words, that she fully knew what she was doing.
She was winking at my son as if to say, you know, I'm going to give you diarrhea to make daddy look fun, you know, stupid.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Judy. Hi, Judy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Very good, ma'am.
This gentleman, he doesn't understand that he would have a whole different set of problems had his wife eaten cheese and different things to bind the baby up. He would have gotten himself into the bank. The baby would have gotten constipation, and he would have gotten colic, and he would have started screaming.
Well, but you know, when my wife winks at my son before she slides that, you know, this burrito.
Well, I'm just saying,
I know
it would have been a whole different set of problems because I've had five children.
Well, whatever you can feed, whatever you can feed a child to get the kid bound up so he's not laying one out in a bank, and everyone thinks I did it.
Instead of laying one out, what he would have been doing would have been screaming in the bank, and that also would have embarrassed you.
Well, let me jump
4-month-old babies get colic from constipation, and they get constipation if the mother eats cheese and different things to bind the baby up. So it's
okay. Right,
you know,
now, I don't know if you can hear, but my son is crying in the background, and my wife. I don't know if you can hear, but my wife April came in and. Big as God, she's walking in here with a Taco Lita bag. See, so everything that I'm saying...
What, she's coming in with more Mexican food?
Yeah, so even the threat of a lawsuit is not going to keep her.
But if she wanted to get even with you and make the baby do something bad in public, she could have eaten the things that would have bound the baby up, because a 4-month-old baby, if he doesn't
right.
have diarrhea, he's going to have constipation, and that's just, you know, that's life.
Hold on for a minute. There don't have any taquitos in there either, honey. No taquitos. All right, anyway.
That's
I just
okay. All
right, thank you very much. Thank you, Judy. 1-800-449-866. Your wife is there eating Mexican food?
Yeah, as big as God. Look at her. I don't care. She wants to give the kid more of the squirts. So, because she knows I've got to go into Visalia tomorrow morning, and I've got to pick up... what I've basically got to do is get some feed, and I was going to go to Quarter Wood when I'm in Visalia. And she knows I'm going to take Adam with me, because she knows that I have a lot of fun taking him on errands. She's in there right now.
So she's in there now eating it. She's going to breastfeed him. He's going to have more diarrhea, and people are going to look at you like, quote, you did it.
That is my feeling, yes, sir. You know, I mean, if I got to put a wine cork in my own son's rear end before I walk into the Subway for a meatball sandwich, I can't handle the embarrassment. And that's, you can well imagine this.
All right, I totally get it, and I totally get how, you know, my wife and I had a big fight, it's ironic, in the election of 2000 we had a big fight because Bush had won. I was a Gore fan, and she banished me from the house. I know how emotions can get bad. Your wife purposely giving your son diarrhea so people will think you went in your pants in the bank because she doesn't like Republicans seems a little far-fetched. Here is Lisa on the Phil Henry Show. Lisa?
Yes?
You're on the air, ma'am.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, hi, this is Lisa, and I must say that my husband, Tom, is a staunch Republican, and I'm a Democrat.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have had three children, and at one point, I had three under the age of four, and they were all in diapers. And I just have to say that there is no way that you can say that for sure when a child's bowel movements are going to happen and when things are going to happen. Now, he could have left the bank 5 minutes later and the child could have gone in his pants, or 5 minutes earlier and he would have gone in the car. There is no way that that,
are you
that
saying
would
you can't time it? You can't time that?
No, you certainly cannot time a baby's bowel movement.
You know when a baby's going to go.
Yes.
And she thought it was funny. And why did she wink at my son, and why did she think it was funny?
I'm sorry?
She winked at my son as she was eating a set of taquitos.
Well, you know what? I make faces at my kids all the time. And you cannot... I'm also a nurse, by the way. And there is no way that you can tell when things will bind up a child and when they won't. And I must say that if my husband had my children... And I happen to, because of restriction of eating, happen to enjoy spicy food one time, and he was somewhere, and the child would have pooped in his pants, he would have calmly just changed the diaper. He is
a
prominent businessman.
In a bank.
No, he's Republican, they would... sir,
ma'am,
let me finish, please.
I was in a bank, and it was one of those yellow mustard-colored poops. It was a real nasty...
I understand.
Man,
you pooped him. I understand.
Man.
I've seen every color under the rainbow, sir, as a mother.
Okay.
And you know what? It may have waited until you've gotten home with your wife. You were only in the bank how long?
Here's why, what you're saying
How long were you in the bank, sir?
I was in the bank a good half hour.
Half hour.
Yes,
how
ma'am.
Can you say that she could have timed
but,
it so that
you
your
see,
baby would have pooped
yes,
in that
ma'am,
half
but the
hour.
Reason why your comments do not ring true is you're a Democrat, so you're going to say everything you can to defend
no,
my wife.
No, actually, my husband
making my
thinks
kid
that
go.
You're acting like a Democrat because you're suing her.
Well, ma'am, you know,
that's
then I question,
a Democratic move.
Well, then I question whether your husband truly is a Republican. If your husband ever forces you to eat chimichanga while you're breastfeeding because you're a Democrat, you'll think again.
Okay, you guys got your radio turned up. You need to turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down,
yeah.
Please. And you know what? I've got to tell you, you just can't.
Well,
you, can't
you can hear my son crying right now.
A child poop like that. You just can't. I know you seem to think she can.
Well,
she could have made it so that it, when you got home, she wouldn't have known the child could have pooped when
you know,
went. And she would have had to clean it up.
All right, ma'am, thank you for your call. What do you mean?
Well, I'm hearing, I can hear a chicken. My kid's crying.
It isn't so peaceful on the farm, is it?
No, it's not. And April is right now. Look at that. She's putting in her. There she goes. She's got another tamale. The whole thing, in my opinion, is her hating me so much that she'd have people look at me as if I went in my pants because I'm a Republican.
I know. That's what you've been saying, that your wife hates Republicans and your party affiliation so much. She wanted your son to go in his diaper at just the right time that it would embarrass you and make it look like you need a diaper, not your son.
That is exactly it, and that's what I told my attorney, and that's what we're going to tell the Superior Court. Yes, sir.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Sherry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Sherry?
Hey.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I am both a mother and a Republican, and I must say that in 10 years when this child realizes
that
when this child realizes his daddy sued his mama because he pooped in his pants in public, he is going to be the laughing stock of his friends. He will be embarrassed forever. This will never go away. He will always be remembered as a kid who pooped. He needs
no, ma'am.
To stop
I
and
didn't
think
sue.
About what
I'm
he's
not
doing
suing
to this
of what
child.
I'm not suing my son. I'm suing my wife.
You don't understand. Your son is the reason you're suing your wife. And
no, my
he
wife
is the one who will face the repercussions, not your wife.
He can't help it. She's the one that forced him to have to sail one into his diaper while I'm in the middle of the bank. He's the
one that pooped, and he's the one that will be teased forever. He will never, ever live this down. You don't understand how children can be.
I'm holding my son right now.
I know you love your child.
I love
know
my
you
son
adore
very much.
Your son. I know you do.
And he is.
But you need to think about the repercussions for him.
God,
because he is the center of the controversy.
See, now he just did it again.
Okay, your son just went in his diaper.
Yes, sir.
Okay, are you in the middle of a bank?
No, ma'am. No, sure, I'm not.
Okay. So how are you being embarrassed?
I'm on the radio right now in front of everybody in America.
Nobody
Baby,
thinks you're
poop.
Doing that.
That's part of human nature. That's just part of being a kid.
There are some of your listeners who may believe it's me doing that. It could be a number of things.
I don't believe it for a second. Nobody listening right now believes that your son is the one who's going in his diaper, not you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you for that vote of confidence because you never know.
Okay.
Well, ma'am, you can laugh if you want, but it's going to be a sad day we walk into court.
All right, Sherry.
You know, this should be in family court. I don't think civil court is the right place for this.
What a sick little...
Well, give him back
baby.
To your wife, man. Yeah. Thanks for calling, Sherry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here's Raina. Raina, go ahead.
First of all, you need to think more about your child than you do about yourself. Because if you cared about your son, you wouldn't be doing this to him. Because I agree with the woman that was just ahead of me. This is going to hurt him, because if this hurts your marriage in any way, your son is going to feel responsible for it. And no matter what you say, it's not going to make him feel any better. He's still going to feel responsible. You need to grow up. Be a man, realize this is the hazards of having a children, and, you know, stop being a baby.
All right, do you hear that?
I have a four-month-old son, and when he goes to the bathroom, he does not sound like that. You are doing this. You're being ridiculous. You're wasting this good man's time on the radio doing
ma'am,
this.
Ma'am, I will tell you that my wife is going to be sued in Superior Court in California. And I'm on a farm right now where I should be getting peace and quiet, and all I can do, I'm going...
You're doing what?
You are trying to embarrass people who live on farms. You're trying to embarrass people who are Republicans.
I've lived on a farm.
Ma'am,
and I am Republican. You are embarrassing.
I'm a proud
Republican. You're not embarrassing. You're making people sound like a bunch of redneck idiots. Now, you know, you need to stop this. This is so
well,
not even
ma'am,
true.
I'm a proud Republican. I'm an individual who believes very deeply in George Bush, and my wife is a Democrat. Put me out into public, unprotected, with an infant and a diaper full, and I had no protection whatsoever against it.
Let's go to Sherry on a Phil Hendry show. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a few comments. This guy, while I'm certain that he is trying to be a good father.
Thank you very much.
The fact remains that anybody who is truly, truly, I'm so mad right now, I can't even breathe. Anybody who is a very good parent would never make the comment that he would have to, he may have to stick a wine cork up his child's butt to keep him from going.
Ma'am, what am I supposed to do?
No, you're talking about your wife being this bad person that ate Mexican food.
Yes, ma'am.
And made this child go in his diaper.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all the women that have called in have made every single point that I have sat here and laughed and almost cried because I'm so mad at you for saying these things because you can't control what a baby is going to do. Number one, okay, you just said your child just went, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You were in that bank for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You can't tell me that your wife could time you being in that bank for 30 minutes, a half hour, that child could go.
All right, then why did she say to me when I got back and I said, okay, you did it, he messed in his diaper and it made me look like a fool.
You know
and
what?
And she wagged her finger at me and she said, I told you.
No,
now, ma'am,
no.
It was a small wine cork that I got from Trader Joe's Charles Schwab wine.
No, listen to me, because everyone out there right now that is an advocate for children, they need to find out who you are, because
you are. Why, because I put a wine cork up my son's butt?
You are a sick individual.
How am I sick?
For saying that you would stick a wine cork up your child's butt. That's called child abuse.
Oh, my God. How dare you? How dare you? I'm trying to keep him from firing another one into his diaper while I'm in there doing business.
No.
He missiled one into his shorts while I'm standing there trying to get my whole life together with parents and everything. So
you know what? Yada yada.
God's going
to
strike you blind.
You know what?
God's
going to
give you leukemia for you.
You know what you are? You are an adult. Think about it.
Thank you. Yes.
You are an adult.
Why don't you treat me like one?
Because you're not acting like one.
Well, why don't you treat me like one? Everybody's calling me up and yelling at me.
Because you're acting like an infant.
Listen to you, dude. Don't you hear yourself?
You're acting like an infant because I'm so mad I can't even breathe right now because you said
I
have to stick a cork up my child's butt.
I'll tell you right now that my wife can time it out. Now, she just breastfed him 15 minutes ago, and I'm holding him right now, and I guarantee within 30 seconds he'll missile one into his shorts.
You know what?
One,
I breastfed
two
children.
Three,
two children.
Four.
And my husband was always...
There it is.
My husband was man enough to change their diapers. And he was a plant manager for a printing company.
I don't mind changing my son's diaper, but I will not change my son's diaper in the middle of Bank of America. Thank you.
And he took my babies and his babies into the bathroom, and he changed their diaper, and we would laugh about it. And that's what most people do.
Did you ever pat him down for a wine cork? No, you didn't.
You know what?
Yeah,
you know what? My husband would never even make the comment that he was going to stick a wine cork up ourselves' butt because he's a good father.
Well, you know,
and he's a human being with feelings, just like your child.
I bet you if you did a quick pat down on him, you'd find a wine. You know, the two
well,
of you.
Well, you know what?
You can go to the horned one.
My husband's not sticking the head.
You know what?
Like you obviously are.
He hung up. He hung up.
Well, you know what?
He told you and me to both go to the horned one.
But you know what? This guy has
yeah.
got
All right, I got a break. I thank you so
problem.
Much, Sherry, for your call. 1-800-449 on the freaking farm. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Later on tonight, we will be interviewing a man who wrote a book, What It's Like to Grow Up with the Name Frank Chubb. We'll be talking with him. We also have a new feature, which I don't know if I'm in favor of, but Bud Dickman has now a feature of his own on our show called Bud's Terrorist List, people that he suspects could be Al-Qaeda operatives or terrorists. The reason why I'm suspicious of the list is I got just a brief glance at it. The first name on the list is Danny DeVito. And I find this to be, you know, I don't know whether he's thought about this. I don't know what it is. Also, we are going to be a Ted Bell flashback with us. We're going to have a bunch of crap coming up, including R.C. Collins and the National Football League. By the way, our website, www.philhenryshow.com, is a good place to go for all things Phil Henry. If you just joined the show, if you're a brand-new listener, you really need to check out our website so you know exactly what it is you're listening to, because I guarantee you don't know. Or as John Huston said to Jack Nicholson in Chinatown,
you might know what you think you're dealing with, but you don't really think you know what you're dealing with. Something like that.
You're going to have to rent the movie. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.